Christ with another program of Bible Truth, all brought to you by your friend and neighbors of the Church of Christ under the caption of Potent Passages to Ponder. And we trust that you are pondering these passages. We're winding down this series, and I want you to think of the scriptures that we've already discussed before on the broadcast. You may have heard some of these. You may know when we give the reference what the verse teaches. John 3:16, Romans 6:17 and 18, 1 John 1 and 7, Acts 2:38, Ephesians 1 and 7, and last time on the broadcast, Romans 8:16 and 17. If you want a copy of this outline, why, of course, feel free to send a card or letter, and we'll be glad to give you the outlines as we have them without cost or obligation. I want to say before we get into the third chapter of Galatians on the broadcast today, let's go to our Heavenly Father for a word of prayer. Join us if you care to do so and can. Let us pray. Our Father who has made heaven and earth, we come into thy sanctified presence at this hour with glad hearts that you have spared our lives through the past days. We now have an opportunity of entering into another day. We trust to put thee first in our life. We are glad, Father, for the proclamation of the gospel and for those who make this series possible. We trust that the gospel may go into the hearts of men and women. May their hearts be as the good soil, and as the rain of the gospel falls into the soil, may the soil drink deeply, drinking in that word of life, and bringing forth a tender shoot in a new birth in a plant that will grow on good ground, bringing honor and glory to thy name. We pray, Father, for those who are sick, for those who do mourn the loss of loved ones. And our thought goes out for our nation and nations of the world, and how our heart burns for men to find the peace that first of all passeth all human understanding, a peace that the individual finds with thee, God the Father, that he or she might see clearly to live at peace with their fellow man. We believe, Father, from thy word that this is the only way that peace can come to the world, and we trust that men may seek thee. Be with the brethren who make this broadcast possible, and be with those who are away from the Lord, that they may hear the word, believe it, and obey it. Be with us in the proclamation today. This we humbly ask in Jesus' name, and amen. I have my Bible turned on the broadcast today to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. Paul has been dealing with a number of things here that are very important. He goes back and talks about the law of Moses. He talks about the fact that all men are under sin. In verse 22 he says, "But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe." And then he simply says, "But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed." I believe that without fear of contradiction, we can say that the law that he refers to here is the law of Moses that was given to the Israelites in the Old Testament. When he says before faith came, he's using the terminology here, the word faith referring to the gospel. But before the gospel came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the gospel which should afterwards be revealed. In other words, faith can be looked upon as a period of time. It can be looked upon what must be in our heart and in our life. It can also be looked upon as the gospel. One place where I believe that's true is in Jude, verse 3. The writing of Jude has just one chapter in it. The third verse, if you read it carefully, you'll find that Jude said that he wanted the brethren to earnestly contend for the faith, which was once, that's the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. Now that Holy Spirit came from heaven, not to the alien sinner. But keep in mind, it came to the apostles on the day of Pentecost, who truly had to be recognized as saints in Christ Jesus. And then what did they do? They took the gospel of the world. So before faith came, before the gospel came, we were kept under the law. We were shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. In other words, we did not have an opportunity to know the gospel then because it hadn't come yet. Then he speaks of this law again, and this is leading up to the thought that we want to advance. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. The word schoolmaster is an interesting word here because it refers to a child conductor or a tutor. See, the great teacher in the verse is Christ, But the schoolmaster, which is referred to as the law of Moses here, was a directorate, one who would take us by the hand as a tutor would take a child to school. So the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, in other words, after the gospel has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, but you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Then he says this in verse 27, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus." In that 27th verse, "For as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." You see, this shows that we put Christ on by being baptized, and someone says, "Well, what kind of a baptism is this?" I believe that it's the one baptism that all people knew who became Christians. Now, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was upon the apostles at Pentecost in Acts 2. The baptism of fire that John the Baptist referred to in Matthew 3 is to come upon the unrighteous, the lake of fire, hence a baptism of fire. But immersion in water, like we have Jesus going through in the third chapter of Matthew, and like the man in the chariot who was converted to Christ, who went down into the water and came up out of the water. This is the baptism that I believe he's referring to. And it's a God-given teaching that brings us into Christ. So what is this verse saying? "For as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Now, the interesting factor about it, baptism gets into the subject here because it is the means that God has selected that causes us to put on Christ Jesus. You see, you never read in the Bible where faith causes us to put on Christ. You never read where repentance causes us to put on Christ, or where confession causes us to put on Christ. In fact, without placing a due emphasis or an undue emphasis upon words, in Romans 10:10 it says, "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it's unto, but into in Galatians 3:27, "For as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." How does it get into this picture? Well, in the first place, it is wholly a matter of faith. There isn't anything that you will do or I would have done to become a Christian that'll be any more linked with faith than baptism. Let's analyze what a person does in obeying that form of doctrine that Paul spoke of in Romans 6. Well, he hears the word, and that causes him to believe it. He turns from his sin and repentance. He confesses his faith with his mouth, what he believes in his heart, and he's baptized. Now, everything is linked together with faith. Our hearing is tied with our faith. Our hearing is tied with our belief. Hearing is also associated with the means by which we receive the gospel, that we might believe it, that we might turn from our sin and repentance, that we might announce with our mouth what we believe, and you can see that's a faith. And then in Colossians 2:12, and that should have been one of the passages I would suppose that we would have discussed in this current series. We haven't so far, but I'm going to take the liberty to go to it and read it on the broadcast today. Listen to Colossians 2:12. "Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead." You see, to the contrary of what some people might think, baptism is not an operation of man. It's an operation of God. The sinner is the patient. God is the surgeon. The surgeon performs the operation. The patient has faith in his doctor. And he takes our sin away. It's the means that he has prescribed. Now, if we don't believe it, then we're not going to go on to full obedience. Yes, as it was stated in that so-called Great Commission in Mark 16:15, Jesus told his apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What were people to do when they heard this gospel? "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Now, you've got to put those two together. And again, I say that baptism, and I believe that's why it's mentioned here in Galatians 3:27, is really that which shows that we believe that Christ is the Son of God. It shows that we are willing to obey from our heart the glorious gospel. Now, what is it for? It is for the remission of our sins, as we have in Acts 2:38. It is for the purpose of our sins being washed away, as we have in Acts 22 and 16. And even it is placed by the Apostle Peter as being vital, for in Acts 10:48 he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, but it was under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And also in 1 Peter 3 and 21, he made the very formidable statement that baptism doth also now save us. But you see, it's a matter of faith. It is definitely a part of this wonderful law of faith that Paul spoke of in Romans 3:27. You see, this couldn't be true by the law of Moses. Even though people were to believe what Moses had to say, even though people were to turn from their sin, and of course, we understand if they did sin under the law of Moses, they died at the mouth of two or three witnesses. But there was an opportunity, at least through the teaching of God's word, for a person to realize how he was wrong. But this thing doesn't really blossom out into a full matter of faith. And that's why I believe in Galatians 3, he talks about faith being that schoolmaster, or the law being that schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. Now, the interesting aspect here is that if we obey the gospel as the Bible teaches, then we will be baptized into Christ Jesus. I believe there are sincere people today who are willing to hear the word, believe it, and to repent. They may even see the need of confessing their faith in Christ. But then ever so often we find someone who says, well, I just can't see the need for being baptized. There are people who believe that it's all right to be baptized. In fact, I never talked to a person who told me he thought it was wrong to be baptized. But to think that it's for the remission of sins, to think that it's to wash away our sins, and someone might say, I just can't see that. Now, I wouldn't know that if I didn't read it in the Bible. My position would be, well, just the same perhaps as other people. If I didn't know anything about baptism, if I hadn't read Galatians 3:27, you see, I just wouldn't know that a person ought to be baptized when I read that in the Bible. And I realize that it is a commandment in Acts 10:48. I realize that the Jews there on the day of Pentecost, who were even guilty of murder, were told to repent and be baptized. So you see, it's going all the way. It is really the thing that causes us to put on Christ, as we have in this formidable passage. Again, in the sixth chapter of Romans, I believe he adds a dimension here that we shouldn't overlook, and I'm going to take time on the broadcast to look at just a few verses. In verse 3 of the sixth chapter of Romans, he says, "Know ye not, or don't ye know, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Now listen to verse 5. "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his resurrection," that's in baptism, "we shall be also in the likeness, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death," that planting is baptism, "if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this," listen to verse 6, "that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Now the question is, when is that body of sin destroyed? Well, it makes it very clear here that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. We are planted together in the likeness of his death when we're baptized. We are raised in the likeness of his resurrection. And the wonderful thing about it is Jesus would never be called upon to die again. We can escape the pangs of death, eternal death, by obeying the gospel. We leave this reference with you. We trust you'll be in the house of the Lord. Tell your friends about this broadcast and be with us next time for the final broadcast in this series, Passages to Ponder.